Good morning, again. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First UU of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I'm the Reverend Michelle LaGrave, the co-lead interim minister. I am a queer, white, disabled woman wearing a beautifully quilted stole. My pronouns are she, her. And it's good to be with all of you today. I especially want to welcome any of you who might be new to the church today. If you are joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you are viewing the service. If you are here in person, please join us for the social hour after worship. Either way, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. You can simply click on worship and then follow the link to a form. We would love, love to get to know you better. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you find yourself on your life's journey, whichever your pronouns, whatever your abilities or disabilities, whether you've walked in or rolled in or joined in, whomever you love, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. It's in this tradition, this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us this morning. Please join me in the words to our lighting of the chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation. Our call to worship this morning is a place of belonging and caring. It is not by chance you arrived here today. You have been looking for something larger than yourself. Inside of you there is a yearning, a calling, a hope for more, a desire for a place of belonging and caring. Through your struggles, someone nurtured you into being, instilling a belief in a shared purpose, a common yet precious resource that belongs to all of us when we share. And so you began seeking a beloved community, a people that does not put fences around love, a community that holds its arms open to the possibilities of love, a heart tone to nourish your soul and share your gifts. Welcome home. Welcome to worship. One of the things that binds First UU together as a religious community is that this congregation has a common purpose. For us, that common purpose is the mission. The congregation wrote it together and put it up on the wall in the sanctuary. Every Sunday, we say it together so that we may more readily carry it with us in our hearts throughout the week. Let us say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Belonging. We're wired for love. We're hardwired for belonging. It's in our DNA. But let me tell you what belonging is. The opposite of belonging, from the research, is fitting in. That's the opposite of belonging. Fitting in is assessing and acclimating. Here's what I should say, be. Here's what I shouldn't say. Here's what I should avoid talking about. Here's what I should dress like, look like. That's fitting in. Belonging is belonging to yourself first. Speaking your truth, telling your story, and never betraying yourself for other people. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. And that's vulnerable.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves together. This morning, we have gathered together with especially heavy hearts. Your co-lead minister, the Reverend Chris Jimerson, lost his husband, Wayne Bachman, earlier this week. Wayne was a member of this congregation and a beloved volunteer in the religious education program. His death and the bereavement of Rev Chris is widely felt in this congregation. Let us begin our candle lighting time by lighting this communal candle for Wayne, for Reverend Chris, and for all those who are grieving today. You may now light a candle of your own if you are so moved. These candles represent sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience, whatever it is that you need to honor during this time. On this day, when so many of our hearts are heavy, I offer you this invitation to listen, not with your ears, but with your hearts, to open your hearts to the possibility of change, the possibility of love, the possibility of beloved community. This is an invitation to the possibility of belonging. Belonging. Belonging to a family, a group, a community is essential to our ability as humans to thrive, to grow, to develop, to change, to transform. From the time of our birth, belonging is essential to both our physical and mental health. We belong to and with those who raise us, care for us, and teach us. Our very survival is based on interdependence with a group of humans, made up partly of family, biological or chosen, as well as a larger community of people who cooperate in growing and preparing our food, teaching us essential knowledge and skills, and caring for our health. We cannot survive as fully independent humans. Independence, at its core, is a myth. We must belong. Somewhere, somehow, we must belong. While belonging is essential to our basic short-term survival as individuals, as a collective, humans aspire to more than basic survival. We are driven to grow, develop, and change. These abilities are essential to our survival as a species. And for these too, belonging is also essential. To thrive as a species and as individuals, we must belong. We belong to families, groups of friends, classrooms, interest groups, congregations, neighborhoods, ethnic groups, faith traditions, towns, schools, clubs, and much, much more. At least, we might. The possibility, as well as the necessity of belonging, exists. If or when we don't belong, we feel excluded and trouble brews. Not belonging leads to feelings of loneliness and isolation, and not much that is good comes from loneliness or isolation. These are to be avoided if at all possible. Today, you are all here, either in person or online. And so the possibility of belonging exists for you, right now, right here, in this moment. The possibility of belonging to a spiritual community, a faith tradition, yourself, exists right now. You are invited to belong. This congregation's mission, its purpose, is to build beloved community. Beloved community probably means many things to many different people. It was first clearly articulated by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. during the Civil Rights Movement. Beloved community in that context is a lot about social justice, especially economic justice, and so it is already a lot about belonging, about the possibility and promise for all people to not only survive, but also to thrive. And I did not plan that this morning. It was already in here. Building beloved community here in this congregation is partly about how if we can learn to do it well here, we can learn to do it well out there in the wider world. That doesn't mean we aren't actively working on doing justice out there in the wider world at the same time. We are doing both. I'd like to suggest that building beloved community is also about building connection, getting and staying connected to each other. We cannot cooperate in a group endeavor, to survive and thrive if we do not know each other and if we are not connected to each other. Beloved community is about being known, loved, cared for and by, and connected to each other. Building beloved community is about working to minimize those all too common feelings of isolation and loneliness. And so building beloved community requires us to show up, as Brené Brown tells us, as our authentic selves, and to support and encourage each other in doing the same. You are invited to belong. You are invited to belong to yourself. You are invited to belong to this beloved community. So, let's pretend for a moment that you've already said yes. Yes to belonging. How does one go about the process of belonging? There are three key components: to show up as your authentic self, to support and encourage others to do the same, and to allow the possibility of change, maybe even transformation. That's show up yourself, encourage others to show up themselves, and be open to change. Showing up as your authentic self is not easy. There is often pressure to feel like you need to act or talk or speak or dress in ways to fit in. But the authenticity that Brené Brown's research has brought out is talking about being true to yourself, about not betraying yourself, about not trying to fit in. Church is not a personality or a popularity contest. Neither is beloved community. In showing up in ourselves, our authentic selves, we need to. It requires us to be vulnerable. Sharing our authentic self, our thoughts and our feelings, our lived experiences, the ways that we've celebrated throughout life, the ways in which we've been harmed, is how people build trust with each other. I show you who I am, my real authentic self. And that is how we begin to build trust. It gives you permission to do the same. If we limit the ways, this is the cost of not showing up as our authentic selves. If we limit the ways in which we share our authentic selves, if we limit ourselves, our experience of beloved community will also be limited, will also be compromised. We cannot fully live into beloved community without fully living into ourselves. Number two, supporting and encouraging others and showing up as their authentic selves. That can be hard, except especially in church. I'll talk a little bit more about this next week. What we need to do to encourage and support each other in showing up as their full authentic selves is to be curious. At its core, it's about being curious about other people, being open to learning about each other, about how we experience similar life events differently. So, for example, my grief might be different from yours, even though we both lost a child or a parent or a spouse. My job loss might have additional layers of trauma due to systemic oppression that another person does not have when they lose their job. This curiosity is all about being gentle, warm, open, and non-judgmental. It's also about not pressuring anyone to fit in. Congregations, churches are at a big risk for this one. We have long, long traditions about how to do church right. Guess what? There is no one way to do church right. There are lots of ways to do church right. And we can explore and experiment with them all. We can be creative and flexible. And you know what? In fact, that is what these times require of us. We, as a church, still haven't adjusted from the baby boomers being in Sunday school in the 1960s and all the mamas who were at home volunteering to run the church. We have not yet shifted from that. We require all too small paid staffs to do the work that large numbers of mostly female cisgender women, although they wouldn't have called themselves that back in the day, did to run the church while their mostly husbands were at work. We haven't yet shifted that dynamic, not fully, not completely, and it is limiting what we can do now. Never mind that we just went through a pandemic and it's 2024, not 1964, and the world has changed a lot. We have learned so much since then. We have grown so much since then. We need to not be one of those churches that is stuck in the past and stuck in the way that we used to do things and the way that we didn't used to do things. I'll tell you next week a story about how to pass the offering plate correctly. What I'm trying to say in all of this is if we limit the ways that other people show up as their authentic selves, especially if they are people who have one or more marginalized identities, if we pressure them to try to fit into our own boxes, our own ways, our long tradition of the right way to do things, then our experience of beloved community will also be limited. We cannot truly have beloved community without giving permission to each and every single person to show up as their full and authentic selves, and not only to be themselves, but to open ourselves. This is number three. Be willing to be changed by what you learn about yourselves and each other. So I'm not saying you need to change who you are. I'm not saying that you need to try to fit in. I'm saying by changing yourself, that you're changing yourself in a way in which you grow to know yourself as more of who you are. Growing into yourself. Becoming more of who you already are. Which might require some new skills and some new behaviors. So you are essentially the best, growing into the best version of yourself. Remaining true to yourself, remaining authentic to yourself, while also learning new skills and new behaviors and new ways of doing church or running a meeting or whatever it is from people who might be, in one or more ways, a little bit different from you and how you learn to do things, how I learn to do things. It's about making room for possibility, about making room for change, even more about making room for the possibility of transformation. This one we'll do a lot more about next week. This has turned into a two-parter of a sermon. So how do we do all of this? There are so many ways that the congregation is already doing at its core the essential things that we need to be doing. That's why when you come in here on Sunday morning, you feel all that energy and vitality and life out in the lobby in the narthex. That's why it's difficult to get you in here to get started with worship because we love being here and we're excited to be here. So you're already doing a lot. You have a thriving small group ministry with Chalice Circles and Wellspring that are just starting up this month, and I think there is still a few spaces left if you haven't done that yet and want to. That is a great way in a small group to allow yourself to be known by other people and to give the gift of allowing other people to become known as their selves to you. We have our Congregational Connections team, which helps you. All you have to do is email them and let them know that you're struggling to get connected to church. They'll talk with you, find out what you're interested in, what you're not interested in, and they'll help you connect with different groups, different ministries within the congregation. You can access them as easily as an email. We have a grief group that meets twice a month. We have a soon-to-come caregivers group that is going to be meeting online. We're working on developing an outreach group similar to something you've done in the past. We have religious education for all ages, which, since most of you are adults at the moment, but not all of you, for all of us, includes ways to reflect on our own ways of experience, our own experiences, and our own ways of being in the world, and then to choose whether we want to change any of those behaviors or develop new skills or connect with different people. Reflection is an essential part of this. And you have it built in with your religious education. You already have been working together to create a healthier environment for people to share, to be vulnerable. You have a healthy relations covenant. If covenant gets broken, actually, scratch that. When covenant gets broken, because it always does and always will, and has been for millennia, starting with way back in Genesis in the Hebrew Bible, we are imperfect beings after all. When covenant gets broken, there is a healthy relations team that can help you put relationships back together to reconnect. All you have to do is reach out to them, too. And we have a basis of shared values. We don't require our beliefs about God or the eternal or the way the world works to be the same. We are pluralistic. We can have a multiplicity of philosophies and theologies. As Hosea Blue had said, we do not need to think alike to love alike, right? We're here to love each other, not to be cookie cutter patterns of thought and belief. There are just so many ways. You are already doing this. And there are probably more and new ways that you can do it differently or better. That is something we may discover in the coming months and years. As a Gen Xer, which you'll hear a lot more about next week, and I'll take a few moments to poke fun at Brent. He knows this ahead of time, by the way. I have a healthy dose of cynicism and idealism. We're the sandwich generation, stuck between the baby boomers and the millennials, the ones who have less power, more invisibility, less voice, typically, at least that's what we say. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. So we grew up with this mix of cynicism and idealism, and as a minister, that is extra true. I am realistic. I know what the world is. I believe that a better world is possible. In the meantime, I live in a world that could be, but is not yet. What I'm saying is that I know that building beloved community is hard work. I am not naive about this. And I know that showing up as our true selves is also hard work. Being vulnerable is the most courageous thing we as humans can do because it is a choice. Because it is a choice. Unlike other situations in which courage is so often lauded, so often seen as heroic, when our bodies are reacting to extreme situations by going into fight, flight, or freeze mode. Unlike those situations, being true to ourselves, being authentic to ourselves, is a choice, a courageous choice. Beloved community and all that it entails is possible. Belonging is possible. You are invited to join. You are invited to belong. Will you join me? Amen, and blessed be. Please join me in the words to the extinguishing of our chalice flame. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again. All of you, each and every one of you is loved. You are loved in all of your strengths and might and challenges and mistakes and imperfections and foibles and plain old quirks. You are loved wholeheartedly and unquestionably as your real, true, authentic self. Go forth knowing you are loved. Go forth knowing you are blessed. Amen, and blessed be.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.